You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, January 20th, episode 3608 by Worm Flooring. Excuse me. Good morning, Horse World, and happy MLK Day.
Hold on for a second at this point. Caldera down the lane, still in charge, and he scampers away. He shows a nice kick, opens up three with a furlong to go. Brother Tony chasing in second. Can't stop Willis. Still third now as they hit the 16th pole. It's all Caldera, and it's main diploma time for Caldera and Rafael Bejarano. Brother Tony second.
Well, there you go. I know that it's not as exciting listening to the races without the crowds in the back.
I know. I was going to just go, the crowd goes
yay,
wild.
Yay, our racehorse won.
Yay, we won so much money, you guys.
Yes. So why did I play that? If you're a new listener, is about 50 of our listeners / auditors have joined on myracehorse.com to buy a share in Caldera. We had Clark on, right? And yeah, he had one with his racehorse, and then all of us decided we wanted to get on and buy a piece of the next one that came up, and Caldera was the next one that came up. So he's a 3-year-old colt. This is his third race, and he won by 5.5 lengths. The difference this time was they put blinkers on him, because mm-hmm. he was very distracted the last couple of races, so they put blinkers on him. And apparently it worked, because he won by 5.5 lengths. So now, apparently, he's with Dwayne Lucas, and Dwayne Lucas is kind of bold with his choices of races, and apparently they're thinking about putting him in the $1.25 million Rebel Stakes that's coming up on February 22nd. So let's hope. You know,
yeehaw.
I think they're thinking about doing that because he is 3 years old and needs the points if he's going to qualify for the Derby. So if he wins the Rebel Stakes, or even, you know, comes in first, second, or third, he gets points, right? He gets a lot more points for doing a stakes race. So I think that's why they're probably doing it, is to see if, you know, this is one they want to put in the Derby. Go Caldera. Yay. So excited.
Yay. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And it, you know, his first couple races weren't the greatest. So
they were something.
Yeah. First one, especially. But yeah. Look, third race, pretty good.
Third time's a charm.
So also, I wanted to mention that Jamie is not here today. We did have her scheduled to be back today, but she had her surgeon's follow-up appointment. She's doing good. The first couple days were a little rough. I talked to her on like the second day after surgery, and let's say the drugs were kicking in. So
yeehaw.
Yeah. she was in a little bit of pain. She had shoulder surgery, and she's in a great big sling cast thing right now. And she's been doing physical therapy, which she had a lot of words I can't say on the air about that. It's never fun. But she's doing good. I went out to the ring and watched some horses go around. Chad apparently didn't know about that, so let's keep that quiet. but she was smiling, so that was good. That was a good thing. And she'll be back on Wednesday, I'm sure. But she just had to.
Back on the show or back on a horse?
Back on the show.
You can't keep a horse girl off of a horse.
No, I think she'll be back on a horse long before she's supposed to. But, you know, she's been through the surgery once before on the other shoulder, so she kind of knows how it goes. And, you know, with this kind of surgery, you don't want to tweak it. That's not fun. So she's going to be, I think she said, 4 to 6 weeks off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, again, you can't raise your arm too high.
Well, you know, you could do a lot with one-handed reining.
Well, that's what she's been doing, actually, because her arm hurts so bad. So she'll be back on Wednesday. She said hi to everybody, and thank you, Ashley, for agreeing to fill in at the last minute again. We appreciate it. Yeah, today on the show, we have Jay Carvath. You might have heard of him. He's the Year of the Mustang. He finished, we had him on when he was on his way home in Pennsylvania, I believe. He finished his 6,000-mile ride before Christmas, right before.
Yes.
And he's going to stop in to reflect on his wild ride and his amazing year, and maybe a Guinness World Book record. Also, I will fill you in a little bit about what's going on in podcasting after I spent 4 or 5 days at PodFest getting all caught up on what's going on in the podcasting world. And we have some equestrian first world problems for you. In the post show, Coach Jen is going to join us, and we're going to discuss an article I saw on Facebook about the lessons learned as a barn owner. And I know you owned a boarding stable, or your parents did, right?
Mm-hmm,
when you were growing up. And of course, we owned our own, and Jennifer ran a couple. So we're gonna have a chat about owning boarding stables and this particular article about lessons learned, which I thought was pretty good. I'll give you the horse husband point of view on it too. But first, we have to do some daily whinnies. Well, we have a bunch of auditors with birthdays, and I tried to get everybody that, you know, I might have missed because of Friday, so I apologize if I missed anybody. But we have a happy birthday to Angie Wilson, Taylor Benson, Kristen McFarland, Cheryl Rings, Megan Lapkoff, Clark Barton. We just talked about Clark. He was the one we had on. It's Clark's fault. We all own a piece of a racehorse.
That's right.
And Jessica Shannon, happy birthday to all of you.
My daily whinny goes out to all of the auditors who are so kind this weekend and wrote me a little love note about the new season of Sleep Stories for Equestrians.
Oh, I saw them posting in there. Apparently it worked because all of them said they were asleep in 4 minutes.
I know. It's so funny. I was sharing with my husband. It's just hysterical. I said, you know, I have to be one of the only podcasters out there who gets excited when nobody can finish an episode.
That's true. But you know what? For our statistics, it probably keeps going while they're sleeping, right? So it shows they finished the episode. As a matter of fact, if you all want to fall asleep to this show, that'd be great because it would help our numbers out.
Hey now, Glenn, don't you go stealing my strategy.
What book are you doing? Apparently it worked, whatever it was.
So, you know, I changed it. Last season, we did a Marguerite Henry book, Stormy Misty's Foal. And you know how much I love horses in history whenever we do them together here on your show. And so I actually did a horses in history kind of themed book. So instead of fiction, we're doing a nonfiction book. And it talks about the evolution of horses and horses in war. And it's really fun. It was actually
apparently pretty boring because everybody's falling asleep.
Yeah, boring in like the best way, you know, it's something just so relaxing, learning about how Eohippus grew, you know, changed from three toes to one. It's just fascinating.
Well, and have you had to look up how to say all the old words, about 50 of them?
Thankfully not. Okay. There are some, you know, the book came out, I think, in the 40s or 50s. So there are some words I had to creatively dance around because, you know, at that time, were different then.
Yeah. They were.
It really meant so much. Thank you to the auditors, Kimberly, Laureen, Michelle. It really meant, you guys made my weekend. It was really sweet. So I'm glad that you guys got some good sleep. You made my heart feel good. Everybody, if you're tired and need some help falling asleep, go check out Sleep Stories for Equestrians.
It's on your podcast player. Just subscribe. If you missed the first season, you can listen to that and now catch the second season. How long is this book? How many episodes do you think this was going to be?
This one, it should be a shorter season than the last season. It's just a shorter book, but we'll see. I mean, I think that I'll probably do another season this year if Glennie lets me, you know, we'll see.
So you also could if you timed it right, you could probably just do 5 to 7 minutes because apparently everybody's falling asleep in the first 5 minutes. So make each episode 7 minutes and you'll get more episodes.
Maybe I drip it out. Yeah. I only do one chapter instead of three each
episode.
Yeah,
I think you could actually. I think you could get away with that. Well, that's good. Congratulations. I'm glad that show's still putting people to sleep. That was the goal. Well, it is going to be so cold across the country, all the way across the country. I saw the map this morning, and we're looking at like record temperatures in some places, and the whole country is going to be cold to the point where we're expecting snow in Florida. The Panhandle, Tallahassee is expecting 2 or 3 inches. By the way, the record snowfall for Florida is Pensacola had 3.1 inches. That was the record. So Ocala had like a half an inch 30 years ago. We're not supposed to get the snow, but we're supposed to get freezing rain. I guess, what, Tuesday or Wednesday? And it'll be down in the 20s and raining. So we'll probably get some freezing rain, which we haven't seen since we've lived in Ocala. So,
although, you know, I bet it'll sound so nice in your barn.
Yes, yes, it would probably
be really nice. Yeah.
There were some people at PodFest who were heading back home to like Minnesota and places. And
oh, geez.
They didn't want to leave Florida because we had a beautiful weekend. It was in the high 60s, low 70s. It was beautiful. So everybody was in town from the north was a little disappointed they had to go home.
I believe it. I mean, I don't understand. Even here in New Mexico, tomorrow the low is 8.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what that means.
You're a Florida girl, too. This must be fun for you.
Oh, I've been ragging on Zach to go out and buy more firewood for the past 5 days. Like, we have heating, but I was like, I need a fire. If it's 8 degrees, that is ridiculous to me. I don't understand.
Well, we're thinking about all of you in the cold and the snow. And I know that I haven't looked at them yet, but I bet some of the Equestrian First World problems are going to be involved weather. I'm pretty sure.
I bet you're right.
I'm pretty sure.
Is your floor a disaster zone? Cracked, dusty, and leaking? There's a better way. Let's face it, traditional floors and trailers, barns, workshops, they all take a beating. They crack, they leak, they collect dust like it's nobody's business. And those temporary fixes, they never last. We've got the solution for you. Worm flooring. Worm flooring is a sealed system that's easy to clean and maintain. No more back-breaking scrubbing. Plus, it's slip-resistant, keeping you and your horse safe and sound. Unlike other options, worm flooring is built to last. Liquids, no problem. Worm flooring protects your floor and keeps it looking beautiful for years to come. So don't settle for a floor that's a constant hassle. Invest in worm flooring today. Visit Worm Flooring, that's WERM flooring.com, to learn more and transform your space. Worm flooring, the lasting solution for a beautiful floor for your barn, trailer, and more.
So this was my 10th PodFest this year. And
10. Yeah, that's crazy.
10th one. And we did an improv class. Robin and I did an improv class, how improv can make you a better host. And that was fun. We always have a good time. That's always just a riot. And then I did speak on a couple of panels and things, but I would say the highlight this year is that podcasting kind of after the pandemic, or during the pandemic, actually, but everybody started a podcast. So there was a record number of podcasts. And then everybody started a podcast in the pandemic, and that was, you know, most of them are not doing it anymore. So that they went away. And I think what we're seeing in podcasting is a maturity now, which I never thought we'd see in my lifetime. I think it's still growing and we're still, you know, figuring things out. But it's maturing to the point where the latest survey showed 95% of people have heard of a podcast in the United States. And that's a record. I mean, we were always at the 60% mark. Because it's become so mainstream and it's mentioned in TV shows and everywhere. I mean,
there's whole TV shows and movies about podcasting now.
Yes.
You know?
and what I had a talk with some of my OG friends, and we still credit, because the Hall of Fame happens there too. So we were talking about if there was one, the Hall of Fame for podcasting is podcast hosts, you know, they induct podcast hosts. And three of my friends were inducted this time. I'll mention them here quick. But if there was a show, a show itself that was going to be inducted in the Podcast Hall of Fame, one that changed the trajectory of podcasting, period, it's Serial.
I was going to say it has to be Serial. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, 100%. I recommended that. I'm talking to the guy who runs the Podcast Hall of Fame, and I said, you need to nominate Serial. And he said, well, we don't really do shows. I said, that's one exception.
It really, truly is. I agree completely.
We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Serial.
If any of our listeners out there enjoyed Serial, I highly recommend NPR did a spoof musical on Serial. Really? It is the most laugh out loud. I mean, Sarah Koenig, she has all these songs. Ira Glass is singing about how his dog eats organic ostrich. Like, it is so funny. So I highly recommend, if you enjoyed Serial, you need a laugh. This is Ashley's podcast recommendation of the day. Look up NPR's Serial the Musical.
It was interesting.
You won't regret it.
You mentioned NPR because the lady who was in charge of NPR Media Digital at the time, who brought the NPR shows to podcasting, they were one of the first corporations to come. They were the first corporation to come into podcasting long before. Actually, 2 years before I started. And I started in 2006. So 2 years before that, they brought their shows to podcasting. And they were the first ones to do that. So she got into the Hall of Fame, and rightly so, because she was inspirational in that. And NPR shows, people were listening to those podcasts. But it was still Serial that, you know, brought it 100%. To the forefront. And became it a mainstream term, podcasting. You know, up to that point, I was still saying online radio. A couple people asked me, why Horse Radio Network? I said, because when I started, nobody knew what a podcast was. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew what a podcast was. And explaining it to, we would still have to explain it to everybody, but I would then promote it as online radio. Think of it as online radio. So you come and listen to the shows on the internet as. And back then, there were no smartphones, so most people were listening on a web browser.
Right.
Or you down the smart, the really brilliant one, people who were really tech savvy were downloading it to their computer and then to their iPod. And then listening on their iPod.
Actually, we still have our iPods, and Zach uses it in the gym.
Oh, no.
We still use our iPods. And it's still running. Here.
Still has the same 1990s music when they downloaded it.
Oh, yeah. It's all terrible music, but it works, baby.
Well, then iTunes brought podcasting in. That's how it really started, was Apple put podcasts on iTunes. And you still had to listen on iTunes, and you couldn't download it easily at that point. But obviously smartphones came along and that helped podcasting out. But then Serial came along and really brought it to the forefront. I think Serial probably has 500 million downloads by now. It's huge. But I wanted to acknowledge Chris who runs PodFest, Chris Kremitzos. You've heard him on this show a number of times. He's my good friend, and he runs PodFest, was inducted in the Hall of Fame for being one of the best influencers out there. Ironically, he's never had a podcast himself.
Oh, that's hysterical. But, I didn't know that.
No, but probably has had, you know, more influence in podcasting than just about any other individual because of doing the conference. Lou Mangiello, who I know some of you listen to, Walt Disney, he does the Walt Disney Show, WDW. Lou started about a year before I did. He's been a friend for years. Lou really pioneered building community. He has an unbelievable community. He's Horse Lovers Cruises were designed after his cruises. He does cruises for his people and has forever. And he'll get 500. Although he said it's getting harder to do that now because cruises are getting booked out and they can't book that many rooms anymore.
Oh, block that many rooms. Yeah. Yeah.
So he said it's getting tougher. He said his next one, he had to limit it to 150. But he's a fantastic guy, super smart. He does keynote speeches for corporations and businesses talking about Walt Disney himself and the lessons he learned from Walt Disney and his business practices. So he's a cool guy. He was there. I got to hang out with him and watch his acceptance speech, which was great. And then Jessica, who unfortunately couldn't make it, Kufferman, she was in charge of She Podcasts, which is a podcast that they've done forever and also a conference for female podcasters. So congratulations to all three of them. Good friends for a long time and happy to see them in the Podcast Hall of Fame. I think there's like 50 in the Podcast Hall of Fame now out of 4,200,000 podcasts. So,
wow.
So it's rare air. Let's put it that way. All right, let's hear about Purina, and then we're going to go to Jake Harbath and talk about his finishing the Year of the Mustang.
Confidently address your horse's unique weight needs and help optimize their overall well-being with research-proven Purina Animal Nutrition Feeds. Designed by passionate equine nutritionists, partner with Purina to nourish your horse to their optimal body condition. Explore weight management resources for your horse today at purinamills.com/feed-finder.
Coming up next, as we mentioned earlier in the show, we have Jake with us, who, as you all know, did the Year of the Mustang, rode 6,000 miles across 25 states to raise awareness about wild Mustangs. Now, obviously, a lot of our listeners, Jake, have Mustangs. Our hosts have Mustangs. So we're very familiar with them. But my God, Guy, you did it. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's an incredible feeling, or at least it was when we got back home. It was cool.
That's the first question I actually have for you. When you know, I listen to a podcast that talks about long distance hikers, where they do the Appalachian Trail and the Continental Divide, the really long distance hikes. all of them go through a little bit of depression when they get back. Or did you find that?
I think I keep so busy. That's kind of how I coped with that kind of sudden change in coming back to what was very similar to my life beforehand. So I wouldn't say a depression so much, but it was weird. It was very strange not to be moving every day, not to be wondering where I'm going next. So there was a little bit of a shakeup for sure.
I bet there was, because, you know, you want to get home, you're ready to get home, but then once you're home, it's like, well, I'm not getting up and just riding today. I actually have to do other things, you know? So
yeah,
that is kind of weird. And of course you got in right before Christmas, right?
Yeah. Yep. I got in December 5th.
I saw some pictures. You got kind of snowy there at the end.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We got hit a few times in Wyoming for sure.
So were you ready? I mean, were you counting the days and the miles, or were you just like, I'm going to enjoy this last piece?
I mean, we were definitely pushing to try and make a certain time towards the end, but you know, we had it pretty measured out as to how many days and weeks we had left and what it would take miles wise to make it happen. So it all worked out pretty well, but yeah, definitely with some weather.
So did it all happen in one calendar year?
No, it was actually 14 months and 10 days in total. Okay. So it was, that was anticipated towards probably the latter third of the trip. I figured that's about what it was going to be in total.
Got it. And it was Bella, Denver, and Eddie were the Mustangs. And you didn't have to rotate anybody else in, did you?
No. Yep. It was Denver and Eddie for most of the trip. Bella did about a third of the trip. And yeah, so it was no more than those three.
Do you think they were happy to get home?
Oh, I think so. Honestly, I think we were gone so long. Denver and Eddie, you know, weren't as familiar with our home as maybe Bella was, but yeah, I think they're happy to have the extended rest now. I think it's probably after all of these many weeks since we've been back, it's sunk in that we're not getting going again.
Were they waiting at the gate the next morning and the next morning and the next morning going, okay, this is our routine, where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they still walk up to the fence, you know, and check me out when I walk by and whatnot, but I think they make the most of their breaks is the funny thing, right? We take rest occasionally throughout the trip and they know what to do, and that's lay around and sleep and eat, and they do plenty of that.
So you're applying for a Guinness World Record. What's the what are you applying for? What's the actual record?
So the record I'm going after right now is most states done with continuously on foot with the same horses. So that would be the 25 states done entirely with Denver and Eddie continuously on foot.
We have followed so many people. We've been doing this show 15 years. So we followed so many people that have done it one direction. You're the only one that we followed that has done it both directions.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It was quite a thing after 8.5 months to be like, all right, now we're going back. And, yeah, I think that's what threw a lot of people off, because even a lot of the following, maybe people who weren't as familiar with what the original plan was, were like, oh, so he's done now, you know, when they saw us at the beach. It's like, nope.
You know. That's when the depression set in for a couple of days.
It was yeah, like, it was like, you
know. How
now
many?
Now it's really real.
How many points in this trip were the day? You know, the long distance hikers will go back to them again. They have a saying, don't quit on a bad day. How many points on the trip were the bad days where you went, I got to get to tomorrow or I'm going to hang it up?
Honestly, most of them were the very beginning for me.
Yeah.
It was in those first couple of weeks. And I think I talked about that a little bit last time. But the longer I went, honestly, the less I ever felt like that. Like the longer it got, the less, until maybe like the very end where we could see the finish line, but it was very much the longer I was out there, the more it just felt like my regular life, and the more I just loved it.
Well, then you finished in the most miserable weather, just to add to that. It's like, yeah, snow and all of that, cold. I mean, you finished with that, which just added to wanting to get home in front of a fire and eat regular food again, you know?
Yeah.
and to see mom and dad. I love the picture. There was a picture in one of the newspaper articles of your mom hugging you at the end. And that looked like a mom that was very happy that her son was home.
Yeah, I think it was, it was, yeah, a wonderful day, a wonderful moment. It was super exciting to, yeah, get to see my folks again. And I had great family support on the back end of things throughout the majority of the trip, throughout the entire trip.
I don't think a lot of people realize your mom and dad and your brother, how involved they were. Talk about that a little bit, what they did.
So my brother's actually my editor. So it's because of him that we were able to put it all out for everyone to enjoy on
I didn't
YouTube
think you were
media.
Editing that on the road.
Yeah, no, and that's a full-time job. He still does it right now. We're still partners in that. Yeah, so it's
he did a great job, by the way. Is it Logan, yeah. Right? Is it Logan?
Yeah, Logan's done a phenomenal job doing that. I'm super happy with how things turned out there. And yeah, as far as my parents go, you know, they worked on a little bit of the social media as well. You know, I sat down with my dad regularly to talk about routes and all that sort of thing. So he kind of helped me keep my head straight with all the things that I had to think about on a daily basis. It just helped to have, you know, those people you trusted to bounce things off of, to go over things ahead. And
your mom handled social media? Was she the social media guru?
Yeah. Yep. She went through everything.
Well, yep. She did a good job. You have a few followers. So congratulations to your mom.
Yeah. Honestly, I was doing the thing. I was on horseback 24/7 riding horses every day, and I didn't have service a lot of the time. So it was definitely a team effort to be able to get it out there to everyone in time.
What was the most, this is a two-part question. What was the thing that was the most difficult, kind of the ongoing most difficult thing for you? And then what was the thing that surprised you the most about this trip?
I would say the most ongoing and consistently difficult thing riding horses across the country in 2024 probably has to do with traffic. Mm. So you're very often in close competition with cars, at least the way I did things, trying to hit as many states as I did, that puts you on roadways. And so that was probably ongoing, the more difficult thing to have to think about.
Probably you were lucky that something didn't happen, actually, the distance you went, just with numbers.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had plenty of close calls, and I'd say most of the time it was fine, even when we were on roadways, but it was definitely where probably my most dangerous close calls were with vehicles.
And then the thing that surprised you the most?
The thing that surprised me the most, I think I said this the last time, but it's the most, I would say it's the people. It's the people that I met along the way. Everyone that wanted to help us as we were going along, whether it was, you know, someone wanted to just drop off some lunch while I was going down the road, or invite us to come stay the night and put the horses up, and all the kindness that I received as I went along the way. I definitely envisioned this being a much more solo experience when I left. And as I went along, I got better and better at connecting with people and networking to get the help we needed. And that just made it this cool national effort in a way.
That wouldn't have happened without that, would it? You wouldn't have made it the whole way, and the horses wouldn't have been as healthy, I don't think, without all the help, would they have?
I don't think so, no. Yeah, we received a lot of aid and support in the way of feed, and that absolutely was a contributor to our success. So it definitely wouldn't have been able to be done the way we did it if it weren't for all the help of just common Americans.
I love that. You know, I was thinking from the start of our interview today, like if you were lonely, and it sounds like you made a bunch of new friends along the way. And I have to tell you, I've been following you since, you know, we had you on the show last. And a couple of my favorite little pieces of content that you and the fam cranked out that I wanted to bring up in today's interview. First, I have to know what that your haircut was like. What did that feel like after being on the trail for so long, like a mountain man?
Yeah, that was always planned. That was kind of always anticipated. Like I left clean shaven, pretty short hair, and Yeah, it he was. It was pretty part, wild, man. By the end. I know. Yeah,
you were definitely Grizzly Adams at the end.
Yeah, like Nebraska wind towards the end was blowing it, you know, sideways most of the time. And yeah, so it was quite a stark contrast to go and get a shave and haircut after not having touched it for so long. And yeah,
did you feel like you were 12 years old?
A little bit, yeah. It was kind of a shock to see myself that way. Yeah,
I see so much skin on your face again. And then the clip that I really loved, and I shared with my husband too, he's a big outdoorsman. I want you to tell our listeners about your little run-in with a mountain lion.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about that is that was my second one on the trip.
Oh, wow.
I knew that.
Yeah, I had a run with one in New Mexico where I was camped out, had one poke its head through the grass while I was washing my dishes just by a river.
Ooh.
Way up in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. So that was kind of more of a real encounter because that one I kind of had to run up the hill. But with this one that I think you're referring to in Wyoming, I was like half out of it because I was tired. I was leading the horses up a steep, icy, 8-inch deep snow mountaintop, and it's getting dark. So I wasn't even sure what it was at first. And we had just 40-mile-per-hour winds and snow blowing in our face. So I get up there to this summit, and then I see this thing just go barreling off in front of me to the left of me and start going down the mountain. And it's not till it's going away from me that I see and can make out that it's a full-on, full-grown mountain lion just running down the mountain. And he was just as scared of me suddenly being on that mountain as I was realizing what he was. And I don't even think it registered with the horses that he was there.
Wow.
And probably because he saw the horses, too. They didn't really want to take on a pack, right? So,
yeah.
Especially when they're alone. But, yeah, there you go. Was that bears? Any bears along the way that...
I had just one bear run-in in Virginia. We were camped out in Death State Park. So the horses actually were in rented stalls from the state park. And there was just a little young black bear poking around the edge of camp one night. And I kind of went out to watch what he was doing, making sure he wasn't going to come in and get into junk. But yeah, he saw me and we kind of stared at each other for a minute and he went off into the night. But that was it as far as bears go.
Probably dogs were the worst thing, weren't they?
I would say, yeah. Of all my encounters that were kind of intriguing were with dogs, yeah.
Because you were on roads where there are dogs.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I've seen people that do long-distance hikes and stuff. It's always the dogs that get them in trouble.
Yeah. Guys were very used to dogs after everything that we went through with them, but yeah, we had some gnarly dogs come up on these horses a few times.
Did they defend themselves?
My guys are gentlemen, and I had one instance where, like, after a while, I could see and feel it, and my horses are like, "We're done with this dog," and give a little warning shot here and there, but never had a horse, you know, come undone underneath me because of dog. And I was honestly, some of my proudest moments were when dogs were coming up trying to bite these guys in the hocks or something, and these guys ignored them or something. And so
my wife, it's
where the test of the horsemanship came out.
My wife rides a thoroughbred that does not want a dog to be behind its back feet and will put them in their place, and has several times on trail rides. You know, if the dog's going to come up between his feet, he's going to teach him a lesson. And there's no getting him over that. That's, he feels it's his duty to take care of the situation. I think, it's tough. Dogs are tough. So what advice would you give this first, before I ask that question? And I don't know if we can put this is a family friendly show. Keep that in mind. Which body part on you suffered the most for the trip?
Yeah, it's probably what you think. It's right there where the tail meets the thighs. But yeah.
That would have been my guest. Thanks for being honest.
Yeah, you get used to that, though, too, at the same time. I'd done plenty of long weeks in the saddle, but it was about 3 weeks before you know, I stopped hurting down there.
I bet it was.
It was kind of like, all right, you know.
And then it just became numb for the rest of the trip. Yeah.
Exactly. Then you just, it still hurts. You just don't care anymore.
Thank you for being a good sport. What advice would you give someone who's interested in extended trail riding and doing something like this?
If it's something going along with something like what I did, there's a lot of bases to cover. So there's just a lot of things to take into account if, as far as your education goes, right? Your relationship with your horses and the trust and the confidence between you and your horses is something that you have to make sure is on par, right? Before I'd recommend going out and doing something like this. And it's not that that won't develop over time. Obviously, it did between me and my horses, but that's probably, if you have the principles down to be able to help your horses through things they're unsure about, that's probably your number one. And then number two, you have to be independent. You have to have the skills to take care of yourself and them. So that's very broad, I know, but if you can cover those things, those are probably your most important skills and elements of a person to have as far as being able to do something like this.
Did it end up costing you less than you thought it would because of all the help?
Yes. Yeah, it really did. Now, that being said, it kind of went back and forth as far as overall, because the trip was inherently longer than anticipated. So there was that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, that was definitely, a lot of the financial support came in the way of people supporting us night to night, right?
Yeah. Your food, their food, you know, that all adds up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So Jake, absolutely. You know, this whole thing started out with a mission to raise awareness for Mustangs. After all that, all the miles in the saddle, do you feel like you've raised awareness?
I absolutely think we made a massive dent. And I got to sit down with the Utah manager of the Wild Horse and Burro program, and mm-hmm. he just profusely thanked me. He was like, "We have never had such a spokesman like this over such a long period of time for so many years, more than we ever could have done ourselves." And just hearing that from him, I was like, you know, maybe we did do something impactful. And I saw how many people, you know, got to have a first experience, not just with wild horses, but with horses in general. All mm-hmm. the people who would come and say, "I knew nothing about this," especially as I moved more out east. And that it was a very new issue for a lot of people, not everybody, but I absolutely think it was a well-received message, and I'm still working on that right now through my content creation. So it's,
well, we it's love to see good. It. Yeah. I've worked with Mustangs before, and just from one Mustang lover to another, thank you for, you know, putting these animals on such a pedestal and really showing the world what they can do, which is anything.
Well, thank you.
So is South America, Europe, Africa, what's next?
I know, right? We gotta get the next trip going. No, right now I don't have immediate plans for a massive trip. I have plenty of kind of smaller in-country stuff I want to do here this year with these guys to kind of get us back on the trail, back showcasing some of the backcountry of the West. But
do you run tours? Do you run tours? You could, obviously, but do you?
I never have. I haven't necessarily considered tours.
Oh, that's where you should go. You should have Mustang string and run tours. Everybody knows you now. They'd love to take a tour with you. Wyoming, are you kidding?
There you go.
There's your next business. I get 25%. Was my idea. Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
No, fair. I'm serious. You could sell that out. That would. Ashley, would you go?
Twice.
See?
There you go.
Well, congratulations again. Well done. If you want to leave all your supporters and helpers and everybody that saw you along the way with a message, we'll let you end this interview.
Oh, I just, yeah, thanks. Thanks to Americans everywhere who supported us, whether just through following us along, cheering us on in video, or whether I met you on the road or you had us in your home and made it so that we could do what we did. It was something life-changing for me. It was an amazing voice for wild horses everywhere that are in great need of a voice. And it was just an amazing feat in humanity and horsemanship. So it's because of you guys. Thank you so much.
And where can they follow you and catch up if they didn't see any of the videos and they want to go back to the beginning?
If people want to watch this incredible journey, they can go to Jay Carvath on YouTube. And then there's the whole You're the Mustang journey from beginning to end. Or they can go to You're the Mustang on Facebook and Instagram. And we have lots of stuff there as well. And we're continuing to talk about the trip, everything that I learned along the way, a lot of the lessons that I want to be able to pass on, as well as a bunch of new and incredible stuff that I'm teaching people about the Western way of life and horsemanship as well.
The foundation of a horse's well-being is a strong hoof. That's why Calexiquin, the new daily hoof support supplement from the makers of Cosequin, contains key ingredients such as biotin, amino acids, copper, and zinc to support hoof integrity, quality growth, strength, and durability. What sets Calexiquin apart from other hoof supplements is the inclusion of vitamin E and selenium, which provide antioxidant support and membrane stabilization. Put your best hoof forward with Calexiquin. To learn more, visit Calexiquin, CalexiQuin.com.
From the trailer to the show arena, to the barn to the trails, from snowy season to fly season, Tough One has owners covered. Tough One offers a wide variety of tack, horseware, and stable equipment, all at affordable prices to fit every horse owner's budget. Their products are designed with your horse's comfort and safety in mind. Whether you're gearing up for competition, everyday riding, or preparing for unpredictable weather. Yeah, we know a little about that this week. Tough One is there to make you and your horse ready for anything. Check out their full range of essential products and ride with confidence, knowing Tough One has you covered from head to hoof. Visit Tough One, that's the number one.com.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems. This ought to be good.
That's right. It is time for Question First World Problems. That time when the auditors share their problems with us. Auditors are like our super fans. They donate as little as $3 a month to be part of the auditor clan and support the network. And part of that money goes to the hosts like Jamie every month. So you're helping support the hosts directly. And we do a post. I did a post last or this morning in the auditor room. Did we get any Question First World Problems, Ashley?
I'm trying to find the post now. It's so active in here.
I know, it was buried.
I got to dig.
It was kind of buried. I just found it too. I'll start with the first one, all right?
Yes.
Amy said, wearing three layers and Carhartt overalls in 3 feet of snow and having a wedgie.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yep. Because you can't get to that wedgie. It's just going to be there.
There's no picking that. And no. You could wiggle, wiggle, waggle, waggle. But
speaking of which, Jake gave me the answer I thought he would on my body parts question.
I was just glad that you
He was so diplomatic about it.
Yes. Kathleen is telling us about how she had to blanket their donkeys. Sure, it's cold. Now her donkeys are scared of each other. Why are you blue? I don't know. Why are you green? And the one donkey was so mad he wouldn't even look at them. Of course, they had to run around the pasture in the following order: the little donkey, then the large donkey, then the big horse, followed by the 34-year-old. So it was quite the circus, but at least everybody's warm. God bless Kathleen.
Isn't it so funny that you put a blanket on a horse one day and they're 100 days and they're fine. It's that one day they hate it.
Just,
you know?
The one day,
yeah,
right?
It's just, they're not in the mood. Speaking of blankets, Margaret said, blankets on, blankets off, blankets on, blankets off. Midweight blanket, heavyweight blanket, midweight blanket, sheet. It's getting to be too much this winter. That sounds like a real first world, a real problem, actually. The fact that we have all those blankets is probably first world, though. Yeah.
You know, well, you called it at the top of the show that many of our equestrian first world problems were going to be weather related.
Yes.
Adrian writes, all of my horses decided to be scared of their blankets this morning, so I only had time to clean two stalls before leaving for work. Oh, Lord.
I got to say, Jennifer's horse, new horse, is doing it. James is doing really well because we weren't sure he's ever had a blanket on. He lives in Florida.
Right.
But he's been doing well with his bright pink blanket. So bright red, pinkish
only
blanket.
Real men wear pink.
He's
you
been
know?
Doing pretty well. I'm impressed with how well he's doing with his blanket. Because it's been chilly and rainy, so we've had to put their sheets
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
So Carrie said, this is not weather related. Carrie said the eBay auction for the correct Connect breastplate I really wanted didn't end until midnight. So I had to stay up and make sure no one else outbid me. I ended up getting the $200 breastplate for $90 though. So it was like it was free. Good job, Carrie. Well done. You can get sleep.
Yeah, that's
a
win.
Sleep's overrated. Oh, unless, of course, you're listening to Ashley's show. Then it's perfectly fine.
Thanks, Glenn. I was like, wait a minute. J-Mo made a beautiful fleece riding skirt, but it's too short to look pretty on her horse. So they make another one that will follow a sewing pattern. That does make a difference. On the bright side, it still keeps like the top half of her legs warm. So that's something.
Molly's been having a tough time. Can't catch a break. Haven't ridden since Christmas Day. Between holiday cheer, a New Year's vacation, hoof abscesses, and now temps below zero. No idea when I'll get on my boy again. I'm trying to embrace horse care rather than riding. Well, it also sounded like you were embracing the holidays and vacation, too. So let's not overlook that. Part of this is your fault. So, we don't cut him any slack here on the show.
That's right. No. Molly's going to pull her auditor donation after that one, Glenn. Jeez.
We hear you, though. We hear you.
Bridget said the snow covered long, curvy driveway up to the trainer's barn on the hill with ditches alongside and a day off work. Do I go in the truck or just deal with shoveling at my own place so I can get my commuter car out for work tomorrow? Guess I better take my Geritol first.
I am so glad we don't live in the north anymore. I really don't miss shoveling snow and ice and all that crap.
That's a no for me. I just stay home. I don't know how to drive in the snow. So whenever it does happen, I'm just like, well, this is my life now.
And we always have that driveway that once you got it cleared, then the snowplow came and put the 3-foot mountain in front of your driveway again. Ugh. Mm-hmm. Just seemed like we always had that driveway that happened to. Anyway, we're thinking about all of you in the cold and wishing you all the best. Be safe and put the blankets on, even if they hate them. So be safe. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. Auditors, hang on. Jennifer's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the lessons learned running a barn. It's a little more serious topic than we usually do in the post show, but something that I found very relatable, this particular Facebook post. So we're going to talk about that in the post show. And thank you, Ashley, for filling in. Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Tomorrow, we have the Quarter Horse Show, right?
That's right. And you guys, we have a celebrity joining us. I would be lying if I didn't tell you that both Kat and I were totally fangirling. Tomorrow on the Quarter Horse Show, Pat Pirelli is joining us. So we had a great time just listening to stories, exploring stories. He was a wonderful guest to have, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear the show tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. Can't wait. Very good. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you again on Wednesday with Jamie here, and Ashley will talk to you tomorrow.
Time for the Auditor Post Show. We want to remind you that this is not always safe for work or the kiddos. Thanks for hanging around for our nonsense.
All right. Welcome, auditors. Thanks for hanging out with us and being here. I'm going to get Jennifer on here. She's like in the other room right across from me.
So, she's in the other studio.
Yeah, she has her own studio. She's always been in the living room before, but now she has her own studio.
And, it's a dream property, that's for sure.
Hey, Jennifer, we're calling, in case you didn't notice.
You need an assistant to go get her.
Yeah. You there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Let me close my door. You two talk and I'll close my door.
I love James's new blanket. He's so handsome.
He's so embarrassed.
Yeah, well, it builds character. It's good for him.
Well, and it's easy to tell which one's his. Unfortunately, Scooter and Nigel's are the exact same color.
One's
they're
just
literally
romantic,
the exact same blanket.
And one is miniature. I was so excited to meet James, too, by the way. It's like in a couple weeks I get to meet him.
Yes, you do.
Can't wait.
So you want to give a quick James update? what he's up to.
Are you going to do any counting, or are we just going to have at it?
Oh, where this is all recorded. This is the post show.
Oh, okay.
This is all staying in.
It's all staying in. There is no editing in the auditor show. No.
One's totally over the editing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Quick James update. We've been doing adventure hand walks around the neighborhood, trying to get used to terrifying things like flags flapping in the breeze, because every single driveway has at least 4 flags. We won't talk about what's on them. and we got our feet, got to meet our first miniature horse. Again, our neighborhood is full of miniature horses, and it was mildly disturbing. So we got, and he's practically a miniature horse. He should not have a problem with
that. There are a ton of minis in this neighborhood. They all drive, so you see him going by.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. The only one that's not really terrified, Nigel's terrified of the minis too, is Scooter thinks that he should have them to play with as play toys. So
I'm sure.
He thinks lunch.
Yeah. 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 So, all right. Well, good. Well, she's continuing to work on the bike thing, too. James had a bike phobia, and she's working with him every day on the bike thing. She actually takes him out to the field with the bike. So she's either riding the bike or the bike's right beside her. So he's had no choice but to get used to the bike.
If you want to go out to the field, you're going to have to suck it up and deal with the bike.
All right. This was an article that was written, or not an article, a post that was written by Addison Peace. And I don't know her. She's from Illinois. It was public and it just went viral. And it was lessons learned on a long, hard road in the horse business as a barn owner. So, Ashley, you said your family had a boarding stable too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We had a 5-acre boarding farm in Tarpon Springs, Florida from when I was probably like, I don't know, maybe 12. And then I went off to college before my mom sold it shortly after I was in college. So almost a decade we had that. Yeah.
And then we had our own boarding stable. We were up to 20 some horses at one point. And then Jennifer ran a boarding barn or two along the way as well. So let's see if we agree with Addison and what she's saying here. It's easy to fall in love with your customers. They become a family who you spend a lot of time with. However, in the end, they will do what's best for themselves and their horses. And for you and them, those paths may not be the same. Prepare to get your heart broken. Keep business and personal relationships separate. This is so true. And I will say, we are still best friends with somebody that was a couple that was one of our first boarders. And we still travel all over the world with them. So you can make lifelong friendships too. But Jennifer, you're the best at keeping things personal and business separate. You're the best at that anybody I've ever seen.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you.
No, you're
not. I never thought of it that way. But I try to distance myself, keep things at arm's length. Yeah.
Yeah, and she always did. I'm terrible at it. She was the best at it.
Yes, you are terrible at it.
Yeah, I'm awful at it. Ashley, you could see it, though, right? I mean, you think you're friends, and all of a sudden they move their horse, and that's it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like you said, Glenn, I think that there are some people that you can, you know, have both of those kind of feelings with. And if you can be honest and have those conversations, like, you can, but it's certainly not everybody that you can have that big of an open heart with, if that makes sense.
Well, and then there's the ones you want to go on from your barn from the day they stepped in. So that's that too. Horses are easy 99% of the time. It's the people who come with all the baggage. That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
We've talked about that in the show 100 times. The horse world would be great if it wasn't for the people. So
so we used to have back in the day when we had our boarding stable, a lot of what we called the absentee boarders that rarely came to do anything with their horses. And it used to both frustrate and please us, because on one hand, it was frustrating because there the horse was languishing, doing nothing. And invariably, the horses who didn't have any interaction with their humans, like they didn't get ridden, they didn't get hand walked, they didn't get fussed at, those were the horses that caused mischief because they were tears. But on the flip side, you also didn't have to deal with a human. So it was a double-edged sword. It was a first world equestrian problem.
I love, and it is true. It is true. And, you know, there were, I think for the most part, though, they always paid their bill. So there was that. they were probably the best ones at paying their bills, which was ironic because they never saw their horse. Number five, people will always judge you and have opinions. The better you are, the more haters will have opinions. So I dealt with this at PodFest. The topic came up. There was a whole session of people on how to deal with negative comments when you're a podcaster. And, you know, I actually spoke at that. That was one of the questions on the panels. And I said, look, we had an acting company for 10 years. 80% of the people loved our show. 20% of the people hated it. They ate the same food and they saw the same show. You know, it's just, they're going to be 20%. They're going to hate whatever you do. The first comment, and I brought this up on stage and everybody laughed. Do you remember what the first comment on our podcast was in 2008 on Stable Scoop? The first comment we ever got on iTunes? Jennifer?
No idea. No.
The guy sounds like Kermit the Frog. Was the first comment I ever got.
And then you know what? And Glenn's not even offended because he's over here like, Muppet Christmas.
If I had Kermit money, I'd be. And I think that's what I said. I responded to it and said, if I had Kermit money, I'd be very happy.
But, oh my God.
You know, it's hard for people who are doing something, and even running a barn is doing something, teaching lessons is doing something, right? Where you're put yourself out there and you put your quote unquote expertise or whatever it is out there. You're throwing yourself into it. In this show, we're throwing our lives into it. And it's hard to, and Jamie has a tough time with this. It's taken her a long time to get over that because we get negative emails, you know, and it's just the nature of what we do, right? And it's life. 20% aren't going to like you no matter who you are.
Right.
Have you dealt with that directly, Ashley?
I'm going to say, I think what everybody is thinking, that's just part of the horse world.
Yeah, true.
Anytime you sit on a horse, you know, we all do it too. We're like, oh, they're, you know, shoulders should be back, heels should be down more. Oh, they're leading with their left hip. Whatever the case is, you know, for better or for worse, that's kind of the nature of the business. So I think everyone would be a whole lot happier if they stop caring about whatever the hell everybody else thinks about them and focus on yourself.
Jennifer, do you think for us it was the acting company that really taught us that? I think it was, but I don't know if you agree.
I think the acting company and that experience helped you, but you still can't help it because you are locked into your job emotionally because invariably it's a job you invented. So well, you're much true. More yeah. emotionally attached to it versus what I do for a living is I'm not reinventing anything. I'm running a boarding stable or I'm teaching a riding lesson or I'm producing a podcast. I'm not as emotionally attached as you are. And I have a tendency to be less emotionally attached to the universe in general than you are.
I don't know what that says about you or me. I'm not sure.
There we go. Well, it just says you're a great couple because you balance each other out.
This is true.
We're different. So, yeah, I think that helped a little bit, but you are who you are. You're always going to be emotionally attached to what you do. And it's my job to help you block and set some of that aside. Yeah, that's just my job.
Who does
chaos
that?
Control?
Who's who in your relationship, Ashley?
Oh,
He's military, so you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna kind of say we both don't DGAF don't give a
yeah.
Honestly,
you're both tough
to a point where it's concerning at points.
And part of that is though being a military family, you have to be.
Well, you really do, you know, because we move all the time. We have to have boundaries up. It's just it's a way of life, and it's certainly not easy all the time. But we love it 98% of the time. And
well, when especially we true when you're an officer's wife too, right?
Yeah. Glenn, I think said at last PodFest, he was like, Ashley, I've never seen anyone like pretend to care about what someone is saying as well as you do. And I said, well, thank you. I have years of practice, you know, I've been on stage a while and I just, it's a skill you gain as an officer's wife.
It's true. Yes, it's true.
So this is one we've talked about many times.
One more thing for number five, and then we'll close out number five. One of the things that I have learned through producing lots and lots and lots and lots of podcasts is it is less important to not care about those other people's opinions. And it is more important to try to see it from their point of view. Where is the root of that negativity? And see if you can't understand where that came from and then move on. Because if you simply shut it out and not care, just completely shut it out, like it never happened, you miss an opportunity for growth as an equestrian or as a human, whichever direction that comment came from. That is what I've learned from being a podcaster, is to take a moment to try and understand where. Now, it could be that it came from that, you know what, crazy. Okay, we can understand that. But to take the time to do that, that allowed me a lot of growth as an equestrian, to take that moment to see where it came from.
I think that's very mature of you, Jen. I'm going to stay in the camp of just bury it down and pretend it didn't happen.
Head in the sand, butt up.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is one that we've talked about a lot. And actually, I know some auditors have implemented this. When you get annoyed by seeing somebody's car pull into the barn, it's time to let that person move on. Your barn should be your happy place. And it goes along with what I've said in business. And I learned this from one of my first teachers in the insurance business, is fire your worst client every year and you'll do 20% more business next year. And that's true in your barn, right? There's always that one person. And by the way, it's usually the person that's paying the least that is causing the most disruption in your life. And whether it's a barn or business or the place you work, there's always one at the place you work. And we lived by that. We kind of, wanted to make sure our barn was a happy place. And when it wasn't, it's miserable for everybody, not just you, but everybody there. And it's hard to kick somebody out, right? And it's hard to do that. But it's, even in business, we always got rid of the one client that, again, was probably the smallest client I have who took up 20% of my time. And you especially have that in property and casualty insurance, car insurance, auto insurance, house insurance places, that you get that a lot. And, we've kind of always lived by that. And I know some of you auditors have done that and, are happier after. It's just one of those. Well, we'll get on with something else. Horses only have so many jumps, so many runs, so many rides. Don't waste your horses. Teach your students they aren't machines. You owe it to your retired horses to have a safe, comfortable, and dignified end. I'm not even talking about the end. Here, I would add in that you always have the people in your barn, whether you're the boarding stable, the trainer, you're just friends, the friend that is obsessive in riding for the horse's legs off for 2 hours every day. We had them too. And Jennifer, you had to deal with that with students too. And it's hard to tell them, look, we understand you're driven, but your horse kind of needs to not be worn out too.
Yeah. That's just it's that rider a lot. The best way for me to approach it was to, rather than say, don't ride your horse so much or don't work your horse so hard, was rather, let's do this instead of that. Give them a different thing to do, because they need, emotionally, that person needs to be doing something to help them feel like they're continually improving. So rather than say, don't ride your horse, a little bit like little kids, rather than saying,
no, yeah,
do this instead. Let's trade it out rather than that. And that was hard for me, because what I instinctively wanted to do was just say, stop doing that. Just slap them upside
down. Knock it off!
Stop doing that! So it was really hard to come up with alternatives rather than just, you can't have it. That was something I learned, believe it or not, through working at PetSmart and getting to know the trainers there, because they had a training program. The concept of trading, rather than saying to the dog, you can't have that sock, you say to the dog, here, if you give me that sock, I'll give you this appropriate chew toy. that trading process was much more successful than saying, no, you can't do that.
Interesting. Ashley, we're going to end on one more, but do you have any comments on that one?
I love learning that Jen is so much more intuitive. She's got all these tricks in her back pocket I didn't know about.
The last one we're going to end up is number 14. Know your worth, know your worth. Your time and experience has a monetary value. Don't do things for free, even if you like the person. When we were running the boarding stable, we actually had a working student that I made track every little thing that happened that month and what it cost. And that was down to the time it took her to clean the stalls, to feed the horses, the bedding, just everything. And at the end of the month, we determined that we were probably losing 50% more than we were making. If you counted the time in and everything that you do, we were not making any money. And most boarding stables still today aren't making any money. I have had this problem my whole life, undercharging for my time. That's been my biggest problem. I'm getting better at that now that I'm doing consulting on podcasting and stuff. But I've always had that problem. And I think it's a little bit of imposter syndrome. We all have it. It's funny. We did a pro session, which is all the pro podcasters that have been doing this for 10 years or longer and are making a living doing it. And there's probably 50 of us in the room. And somebody asked, how many of you have imposter syndrome? And every hand went up.
Wow.
So I don't think you ever get over imposter syndrome. You're just at a different level of it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know what imposter syndrome means. You don't think you're worthy of doing what you're doing and getting paid to do it at the rate you should get paid to do it. Right. So I think I've gotten better in the last couple of years, but we all have that. I mean, I'm sure it happens in the military all the time. Right.
Oh. I mean, they don't get overtime. So I was like, why are you staying late? Get your butt home. This is dumb. You know, national security, whatnot. Yeah. I don't know.
But it's true. Imposter syndrome. This is something that I think we're all guilty of in life, you know, not valuing our time. Well, and
it's hard to admit, I think, too, especially in podcasting. You know, you're coming to the universe as an expert in something or another. And in boarding, too, everything takes time. Time is money. I think a really easy exercise that people can do is like make up a number per hour that you think you should be getting paid. And like Glenn said, run it for a month and those figures will surprise you.
And I think most boarding stables find that they don't make any money. And that's why they're going out of business right now. They finally do come to the realization that they're not making any money. You know,
you have enough boarders to cover your horse costs, right, and then it's all washing out.
But in that case, though, they're not counting their time.
Right. Exactly. Right.
They're getting paid zero for their time.
Yep.
So I don't know. There's a balance there. I don't know. Jennifer, you have anything to add on that last one?
There's a balance there. People board horses because of a desired lifestyle, not because of a desired income level. And if you're comfortable with that, go for it, right? But don't do it because you think you're making money without taking the time to really crunch the numbers. If you get to the end of that and you've really crunched the numbers and discovered you really not making a nickel that you can report as income, that's fine if that's the lifestyle you want, if that's how you want to live. That's more power to you because somebody's got to board these horses.
You know, right? I got to end on one more because I'm so guilty of the last one. I am the worst at this. Make time for your family and rest. Too many of us get burned out from the stress and expectations in this industry, or I would add any industry, especially when you're an entrepreneur and when you're doing, you have your own business.
Yeah, admit it, Glenn. You are a serial addicted entrepreneur. And I'm referencing a certain conversation we had yesterday.
Yeah, and bordering workaholic. So.
Yes.
But the comment here was your family is who you will have left. Boarders and students come and go. And I always admired the ones who really could close their barn on Christmas, who would put boundaries down.
Nobody comes on Sunday afternoons or whatever that is. Yeah.
And the boarders hate it, but there has to be boundaries because they're at your house.
What? It's your house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boundaries are great.
Yeah. It's not just your barn. I hope somebody got something out of this conversation. It's been interesting hearing Jennifer talk about it too, because we haven't talked about this stuff in a long time. It's been fun. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining us. We appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And as I said, hopefully Jamie and I will be back on Wednesday.
Congratulations. You made it through another post show. Thank you for all your support. Now, go ride your horse.